You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. I want to tell you about a great new podcast called Outside the Box. If you're a maker, an innovator, or even just a consumer who wants to peek behind the curtain of some of the world's greatest organizations, you'll love it. The latest episode features interviews with the visionaries who are creating systems that bring our work, and more importantly, our workforce, into the 21st century. Because although we're plugged in at home, when it comes to the workforce, we're lagging behind. Listen to Outside the Box in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. Have you ever wondered why some 60-year-olds look and feel like 40-year-olds? And why some 40-year-olds look and feel like 60-year-olds? While many factors contribute to aging and illness, Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn discovered a biological indicator called telomerase, the enzyme that replenishes telomeres which protect our genetic heritage. Her research shows that the length and health of one's telomeres are a biological underpinning of the long-hypothesized mind-body connection. Sleep quality, exercise, diet, and even certain chemicals profoundly affect our telomeres, and chronic stress, negative thoughts, strained relationships, and even the wrong neighborhoods can eat away at them and shorten our lifespans. But Dr. Blackburn and her colleagues have found that changes we can make to our daily habits can protect our telomeres and increase the number of years we remain healthy, active, and disease-free. Today, we'll dig into the science of telomeres and longevity and the factors that shorten or extend our lives with Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn. In 2009, Dr. Blackburn received the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine along with her two colleagues for their discovery of telomerase and telomeres' role in the aging process. She's currently president of the Salk Institute for Biological Studies, and she was elected president of the American Association for Cancer Research. Dr. Blackburn is the recipient of the Albert Lasker Basic Medical Research Award, among many other awards, and in 2007, she was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People. Together with health psychologist Dr. Alyssa Eppel, Blackburn recently co-authored a book about her work called The Telomere Effect, a revolutionary approach to living younger, healthier, longer. And today she'll explain what telomeres are and how they affect how we age. She'll discuss how stress shortens our telomeres and in turn shortens our longevity, going back as far as our childhood and even to the womb. She'll share how everything from your marriage to where you live affects your longevity and some tricks you can use to change your perspective, de-stress, and keep life's worries from shortening your life. She'll give her 2 cents on trendy tests that you can take to measure your own telomeres and supplements that actually claim to extend telomeres and how when it comes to telomere growth, you can get too much of a good thing. Coming up with Nobel Prize winner Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn in just a moment. Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn received the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 2009 alongside her two colleagues for the discovery of telomerase and telomeres' role in the aging process. She is currently president of the Salk Institute. Blackburn was elected president of the American Association for Cancer Research and is the recipient of the Albert Lasker Basic Medical Research Award, among many other awards. In 2007, she was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People. She recently co-authored a book with health psychologist Dr. Alyssa Eppel called The Telomere Effect, A Revolutionary Approach to Living Younger, Healthier, and Longer. Dr. Blackburn, thanks so much for taking time to meet with me.
My pleasure.
Let's explain, what exactly are telomeres and what happens to them as we age?
Yes.
So What's that process?
So if you think about genetic material, it's in bundles of DNA called chromosomes. And the chromosomes have two ends, they're linear. And at the ends, the telomeres are little protective caps. And I like the analogy that they're like those little protective caps at the ends of your shoelaces.
The little plastic,
yeah. You've got it. And those, if you don't have them, if they get too short, they fall off, then the shoelace or the chromosome is no longer protected and frays away, right? And almost literally for the chromosome. And so that can have very bad effects on cells. And so the cells send out an alarm signal. They signal the cell it's time to die, but it also signals the cells not only to not replenish, but signals them to send out alarm signals, which unfortunately can be pro-inflammatory, even pro-tumorigenic. So this happens at the cell level, and the well-known biological research results in the biology side of things. The question was, how did this play out in human lives? So a whole combination of research, you know, I won't go into all the technicalities, but it's just a really large body of research says, hey, this actually does play into our human lives because we need that tissue replenishment. We need our cells to be not sending out alarm signals all the time to stay healthy, because that can play into these long-term diseases. And, you know, even our immune system's ability to keep us from getting sick, because those cells can get senescent.
We tend to think of aging as a foregone conclusion. Are you saying that perhaps aging is something that we have a lot more control over than we previously realized?
That was the very interesting thing, yes. It certainly has aspects that we can't control. Maybe in the future we'll be able to, but that's going to be a lot more science and understanding down the road. But there are already aspects that today people can control and can be actually very empowered about without having to rely on, you know, a lot of external, effects. Although we found that external circumstances can play quite dramatically into people's, how it plays into their psychological well-being, in turn affects their telomere maintenance by pathways that we understand. Stress hormones have real effects on telomerase, the enzyme that replenishes telomeres. That in turn, over time, accumulates into effects on telomere maintenance. Your cells get old, they get senescent, they start producing things that, for one thing, increase inflammation, your tissues don't replenish. Those things play into these diseases of aging. It's just a fascinating biology, and it takes a long time in us humans, but we live a long time. You know, there's a lot of time for these very small changes to accumulate. That was what was so exciting, to see it played out in actual human lifetimes, and the effects start accumulating very early. It's not just suddenly you're old.
So you can essentially, with some good habits and healthier lifestyle perhaps, you can replenish those telomeres, perhaps even reverse that fraying on that lace, so to speak.
Yes, you see the enzyme telomerase does build the telomeres back up. And so it's all a very, very complex body balance. And thereby hangs an interesting tale, because when I said tissues replenish, that sounds good to replenish, you know, our skin and our gut and our hair, hair pigment. Right. But it is not good to replenish cancer cells or cells that are going to become cancer. Yeah. So what the research has also shown is, don't push this too far, because there's a certain risk of cancers. But overall, 40,000 foot up view, better to maintain your telomeres.
Yeah.
But we are very cautious about using any kind of untested way to try and push up your telomeres, because we don't know enough about when that'll get into the danger zone. But we know there's a danger zone of too much telomerase, because it can let the cells that we don't want multiplying, cells that are precancerous or cancerous, multiply. And you may not know this for a long time. You know, cancers take up decades, years and years to develop. So we don't want things to be going on in us, upping our risks. So that's why we say the lifestyle things. Believe me, exercise has never been shown to cause cancer. So we say go for the things that have measurable effects in studies.
Well, yeah, I'm curious about what you just said, because they do have supplements now that are claiming to lengthen our telomeres. Is that something that one would want to be skeptical of, or might even be dangerous in terms of cancer?
Both of those. Wow. It's unknown territory.
Yeah.
And because our human, you know, things play out over such a long time frame, it's going to be very hard to know if they're safe. So that's why we say you are so empowered to do all the things that we know are safe over, you know.
Yeah.
So, as I say, exercise never caused any cancer that I'm aware of. Now, put a sun hat on, you know, when you're exercising. Right, we do have to think of, you know, sun-induced melanomas and things, but that's where we're at. And so the telomere measures done in populations and studies and cohorts let you quantify how effective the exercise is. So it's quite a useful overall readout and guidepost for an intervention like an exercise or lifestyle intervention. You can use it as a readout, and it'll be a good kind of reliable readout.
Okay. Well, a lot of these things, such as managing stress and exercising, eating better, getting enough sleep, are things that have been recommended for years.
Absolutely.
What is the specific connection between these habits and our telomeres?
That was what was so interesting, was that, you know, we could now see that here was stress changing our stress hormone balances, changing how the rhythms of those stress hormones like cortisol, and we could see real effects on telomere maintenance. And then you could see, okay, well, what does that translate into in terms of disease risks? Mm-hmm. So there's the connections through our very complex body. You can see, you know, if you will, stress coming in, right? It gets processed by us, our brains. We do something about it. And that's where we put in the book, and my colleague Elissa Apple's real expertise is in, you know, what are the interventions for really just giving people tools to cope with stress. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the readouts of those, you can see for telomere maintenance. So you can see a connection between that and, okay, you will lower disease risks. People have long known that stress is one of the big risk factors for example, cardiovascular disease, which remains a big world killer. And it may be for other diseases as well. Nobody had thought to look. So it's going to get very interesting. And I think now, you know, there are many things just beginning now about how we can understand what goes on in our complicated human body.
Now, I've seen some research more recently about meditation.
Yes.
That scientists and doctors agree that it does have very good effects on your longevity and your overall health.
Yes.
Is that something that has an effect on one's telomeres?
Yes. We've looked in various studies. They've been small so far, but they've each had real kind of study advantages in terms of certain strengths of the nature of the study. And they all point in the same direction. And you know, a fascinating one came out of University of California, Los Angeles, where people who are caring for a relative with dementia, and that's a long-term stressful situation, and they were able to improve their capacity to maintain telomeres just by doing a few months of a certain meditation, you know, I think it was 12 minutes daily even, a particular one, you know, so things, and we're not saying one particular meditation, because other kinds have been shown to have other kinds of very salutary effects. But the interesting thing was that you could read them out, and one big study we did, the study looked at what were called the immeasurables, which are things, you know, very important things like meaning in life and how they changed during a three-month intervention, which was a very intensive meditation intervention. Fascinatingly, that was related to improvement in telomere maintenance capacity. Wow. So you put things that have been hard to grasp into forms that now we can actually quantify. Pessimism just right across the gradient correlates with telomere shortness in two independent cohorts that we studied. So there's a lot to learn about our bodies, but putting things in concrete form, mm-hmm. like, yeah, these are these shoelace ends fraying down on our precious chromosomes here, and because you can put numbers statistically on it, it gives it a kind of, I like to say, if you can quantify it, you can start to do science and be very critical about it.
So it actually lends some science to this long-believed idea that there was a mind-body connection.
And there's always been a mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's been a very complex one. And so medical science tended to say, well, let's deal with the emergency thing. Let's deal with the broken legs. Let's deal with the, the infections. I mean, there's some really serious stuff we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And now medical science has been very successful in a lot of that. We can now start to say, okay, let's take on the really hard ones. Mm-hmm. You know, the long-term non-communicable diseases, our mental health and well-being. Let's take on the tough ones.
Yeah.
Because we have tools where we can start to assess whether something will or won't work. So it's very exciting days. And, the science behind all of this just keeps on getting more and more, intrinsically interesting and just reveals more and more.
Yeah, and you just mentioned this study into people who are coping with a relative with dementia.
Yes.
Is that the type of situation that definitely damages our telomeres?
What's fascinating is that how people perceive this situation is a big determinant.
Mind over body.
Yeah, exactly. And so being able to get tools to do that, because not everybody is automatically going to say, well, this is just wonderful.
Yeah.
But if they can turn the situation, and again, our book, the book that Alyssa Eppel and I wrote, really talks about, well, of course stresses are real, but you can find tools that you can at least cope with them and turn the situation around in your head, because it was so fascinating to see that perception of stress was correlated with shorter telomeres. Perception seems such a sort of ephemeral term, and yet here it was just related to this very concrete measure.
Yeah, and in the book you throw out some interesting mind tricks to trick yourself into not being quite so stressed.
Yes.
What are some of those tricks that you can use?
Yes. Well, my colleague Alyssa Eppel was the real expert in here, but there were certain things, visualizing a situation in a different way and thinking about it as a challenge. Certain ways that you can do yourself, not really trick yourself, but just kind of come at it from another angle, from the one that you might have habitually been used to doing. But saying there is another way to look at this. No, this is not just a wonderful thing, but there's a way I can see, I can draw some strength from it. There's tools I can use to sort of, get me through the day and just to know that you have a bit more power than you thought you had, because sometimes people have habitually gotten into a mode of thinking, sort of spirals out on, and if you can kind of see, it's okay to get out of that mode.
You also talk about relationships that support telomeres.
Yes.
Is it better to be single, married, have kids, have a lot of friends, or a few close friends?
Findings was really the meaningfulness of the relationships. And so all of those situations, you can think about those in terms of, what has meaning. So, you can have lots of good friends or lots of acquaintances or a few, I think it's all what it actually means to the person. So there's no one formula. But there are statistics that say certainly people who are in neighborhoods where they don't feel safe, where they don't have an environment around them, where they can trust their neighbors, if that goes on day in and day out, that correlated with shorter telomeres, even after one corrected for all of the possible other things that there might have been related to that, like, income level and illness level and things like that. So these are really serious kinds of things that our minds are always incorporating into our well-being, and that has these physiological readouts. So there's real power to change other people's telomeres is what we really conclude. We're very interconnected socially.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting to see how it can relate to other people's telomere maintenance.
Yeah.
Is stress the biggest factor? Is, you talk about nutrition and exercise. Is there one that is an overriding factor?
You know, it's tricky because they interact. So I'll just give you an example. I'm not going to be able to answer your question, but but exercise, as I said, you know, that has salutary effects, and you can see it in all sorts of studies. But if somebody is severely chronically stressed, it turned out that having exercise in their lives, and it didn't have to be much, you know, 15 minutes a day of, you know, sort of brisk exercise, you know, that was enough to really substantially buffer what the stress would be otherwise be doing to your telomeres. In fact, when we looked at it, very roughly speaking, you say exercise was twice as good for your telomeres if you were in a stressed state, chronic, than if you weren't.
Really?
It's still good. It's still good. It's just
but
that when you're,
if you're stressed.
Yes, if you're in a more sensitized sort of situation of being in this chronic stress. So that's the kind of thing where it really interacts.
Okay.
And sometimes we look at exercise and in combination with a bunch of other habits, and then you see this combination. So that's those studies are just beginning to get powerful enough to not just look at one thing at a time, but to see, you know, what are the good combinations?
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll have more with Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn when we come back in just a minute. Hey guys, do you hate shopping for clothes? Well, now there's an easier way to get better clothes, Bombfell. Bombfell is an online personal styling service that helps men find the right clothes for them. And unlike other services, there are no fees to work with them, so it costs nothing to sign up. It's simple and straightforward. All you have to do is complete a questionnaire, and a dedicated personal stylist will handpick pieces specially for you. Then, once you've viewed your selections, you'll have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control, and you only pay for the clothes you keep. Plus, you have the option of receiving clothes once every 1, 2, or 3 months because Bombfell is on your side, and they don't make money if you don't find something you want to keep. I just got my first order from Bombfell. I gave my stylist my measurements and answered just a few questions about my style and what I like. He came back to me with a hand-picked outfit just for me. My stylist selected a beautiful sports jacket made out of high-quality linen, perfect for the summer, along with a button-down and a polo shirt that go great with my new jacket or on their own. I was able to change the color if I want, and if I'm ever not in love with the selection, I just say so and my stylist comes back to me with a totally new selection. And these weren't some weird off-brand items. We're talking quality, fashionable clothes that fits great. Plus, it was easy and fast, and I didn't have to waste a lot of time in a store. I love good clothes, and that's why I really love Bombfell. Best of all, I've negotiated with Bombfell to get my listeners a special offer of $25 off your first purchase when you go to bombfell.com/kick. That's Bombfell, spelled BOMBFELL.com/kick. Today's show is also brought to you by Away. Away offers high-quality luggage that's designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel. Available in 9 colors and 4 sizes, including carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines, the Away suitcase is lightweight and unrivaled in strength and impact resistance. Not to mention it features a TSA-approved combination lock, 4 360-degree spinner wheels, and a patent-pending compression system to help overpackers. Better yet, both sizes of carry-on are able to charge anything that's powered by a USB cord. And get this, a single charge will power your iPhone 5 times. Plus, thanks to Away's lifetime warranty, if anything breaks, they'll fix or replace it for you for life. I just received my new rolling carry-on from Away last night, and it is definitely the coolest bag I have ever owned. It's as if I thought of everything I would possibly want as a traveler and designed the bag myself. It has a sturdy, hard shell that takes a beating, and yet it also expands to fit more stuff. It's got lots of compartments to keep me organized, and the USB charging station in the bag is probably the smartest idea I've seen in ages. You know how you're always at the airport when your phone dies and you're fighting with some other guy over a single electrical socket? Sitting on the dirty floor charging your phone because there are no chairs near the outlet? No more. You charge your device from your bag wherever you want. I can't rave about this carry-on enough. Away truly thought of everything. So try Away for 100 days. Travel with it, really put it to the test, and see if you like it. And if at any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund. Shipping is free within the lower 48 states, so you've got absolutely nothing to lose. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/kick and use promo code KICK during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/kick for $20 off your Away suitcase. And now, back to the show.
Let me ask you this. You know, if you worry about telomeres, how do you keep from stressing about your telomeres?
To me, it's very empowering, which is to say, wow, I know there are things I can do. Mm-hmm. I walk to work. I'm privileged to be able to walk to work. Not everybody can do that. But I like to say, if you have a little, you know, if many of us have a short lunchtime, mm-hmm. well, but you can run up and down the stairs a few times. That cumulatively, mm-hmm. you know, it won't instantly drop all those pounds off in 1 month or anything, mm-hmm. but it'll cumulatively have effects. So we, you know, just doing small things over and over, they really add up.
Yeah.
It's habits. It's not like, okay. you know, amazingly overdoing it at the gym for 3 months and then just giving up in despair.
Right. Well, I wonder, because they have evidence that, for instance, marathon runners have a higher incidence of cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. Is there such a thing as over-pushing yourself physically that can affect our telomeres adversely?
Yeah, the data have been mostly on other sorts of readouts of mm-hmm. overdoing it, and there's a lot of data on athletes really overdoing it. We didn't need telomeres to tell you that. I think the telomere relationship, you know, longer telomeres, I think the better way of thinking about it is it does relate to fitness levels. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being a good marathoner, you will have a degree of fitness, which is the important factor. But it was very interesting, a study of several thousand people in the U.S., not specially healthy, you know, specialized population. It was clear that the more categories of exercise somebody did, just long, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 categories, your telomeres were just longer and longer and longer. You know, yeah.
So CrossFit is good.
Yes, it was really interesting. And just mixing it up. So, you know, 3, and they could be things like moderate exercise, vigorous exercise, or, you know, weight training, or cycling and walking to work, mm-hmm. they categorized. And you just mixed them up, and 1 was, you know, 1, okay, 2, better, 3, a little bit better, 4, a bit better. So something that we know already. The mixing it up is pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure for individuals.
And also good for the brain.
It's clear that Alzheimer's risk is diminished in people who have had exercise mm-hmm. habits. And genetically, people who have a disposition to have longer telomeres because of the very genes that we know are dedicated to telomere maintenance, having small variations in the population, the people with longer telomeres have less risk of Alzheimer's and of cardiovascular disease. Now, these are not huge effects, and that's not the only thing going on, but it is clearly discernible. So that just says it's one of the factors that matters, but it's not the only one. Mm-hmm. We have a lot going on in our lives, but at least it's one we can feel we've got some handle on understanding.
That's all.
Well, so at least, you know, at least we've got something to... No, so I don't stress out about my telomeres because I figure, you know, I'm actually, you know, motivated by knowing about it.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me some sort of sense about a kind of guidelines, but I'm not crazy fanatic about it, I have to tell you.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, if ever there was someone who I would think should have short telomeres, it's U.S. presidents, but mm-hmm. ex-presidents mm-hmm. in America seem to have very, very long lives.
Oh, I would think they've had incredible,
care.
No, much more. Look, they have had a life with purpose and meaning.
Okay.
They have done, and in our study with the meditators, it was fascinating, the change in their purpose of life that they felt at the end versus the beginning was correlated with better telomere maintenance capacity. They've had a life where a lot of people very much, you know, have, you know, some support, some not, but they have real meaning in life. Mm-hmm. They have challenge stress. They have real challenges. of course. So the stress and then the stress. And our book is really clear about challenge stress is no problem for telomeres. It's threat stress.
Right.
That is the tough one. And and in short-term threats, of course you want to respond. But long-term, regarding life as a threat, sadly, that's the bad part. So I'm not at all surprised that presidents do just fine, because they have, you know, they've inured themselves with lots of good threat. Challenge stress.
So stress, avoiding stress is not necessarily the answer.
You can't avoid stress.
You don't want to spend the rest of your life reading a book in under a tree or something.
In fact, you'd probably get very frustrated. You wouldn't have a great purpose in life if Or maybe you would, depending on the book.
But the telomere effect.
The telomere effect. There you are. Now, there's a book that'll make you.
Well, I mentioned earlier one of the most interesting things about this is that you say that cellular aging begins in the womb. What kind of things can happen to the unborn child that prematurely age them before they're even born?
Well, the data, which was with collaborators Patik Wadhwar at UC Irvine and Sonia Entriger and others, so the data were that women who had low vitamin B12, low folate, during a critical time in their period of, when the baby is in a certain stage of development, and the babies were born with shorter telomeres, and moms who had very severe levels of stress, again, their babies' telomeres were statistically shorter.
Really?
And so there's two things that we know of. So that, immediately says, well, we should think, again, something we know already. We knew this. It's important to make sure moms are well looked after. Mm-hmm. So we have to think of prenatal care. We have to prioritize that, because that's the next generation. And we do know that even a parent with very short telomeres, because of a genetic defect, can pass the short telomeres onto their baby. And even though they don't pass the genetic defect, the defect in a gene, to the baby, the telomeres in the baby have started off so short that the baby gets some of the risks for diseases and gets some of the diseases that you get when you have the genetic defect that causes the short telomeres. So this is a big responsibility that, again, we knew we're handing on to next generations.
Another thing to stress about.
But again, it's all the same things.
Yeah.
It just says another thing to be aware of. Yeah. Stressing is not, it's a challenge, right?
Let's
look at our policies and say, make sure we do the right thing for supporting moms-to-be and moms, because these are effects that really are lifelong. They're cumulative over lives. So there's no special time in your life that's, one that can just be neglected.
Right. You also say that we need to protect children from violence and trauma that damages telomeres. Would you include entertainment such as video games and violent movies or TV in that as well?
I don't know that that has ever been studied.
Okay.
So I don't know. So sadly, the kinds of violence which has been studied, unfortunately, was actual
physical violence
to the children. And this is a very tragic set of things that goes on, and very interesting exposure to bullying, exposure to racism, those also have been seen quantifiably. But interestingly, what you're talking about, to my knowledge, I'm not aware of any studies, so I just don't know the answer.
Are children more vulnerable to stress?
That's a tough
adults?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer, and it's because it's all context.
Right.
I don't really know. As one goes from birth to kindergarten, in fact, quite a lot of natural telomere shortening happens.
Really?
Yeah. And so against that context, what would we call more and less?
Yeah.
It sort of
yeah.
slows down throughout our next decades of life. It's still drifting downwards, but at very variable rates. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit hard to say. But again, all the other reasons why you would protect children from things that perhaps adults might be more resilient to, which seems to me, quite apart from any telomere research, that would just make good sense to do. And it's just another kind of quantifiable piece of evidence that says, for all something we already know is something we need to protect children from. You know, it's just another way of saying, hey, this really enforces the message.
They have commercial tests that are available now for telomere length. I think that someone said that they range about $100 to $500. Mm-hmm, should everyone get their telomere length tested?
No, they shouldn't. I was one of the co-founders of such a company, but we gave away, as was my co-author, and we just gave away our equity to a nonprofit. We just took ourselves completely out of the picture.
I see.
Because we just thought it's actually not really necessary for individuals. All of the data come from cohort studies and studies of groups of people and populations. And the analogy is, let's give you an analogy, because you'd have it tested in order to know what to do. But those studies are very extensive. We know a lot about what to do with telomeres, based on telomeres. And so, like smoking is not based on you having to have a lung biopsy to say, well, maybe I'll stop smoking. We know it from a lot of data. Now, at some point, a 30-year-old, you know, more often than not has telomeres the same length as an 80-year-old, okay? So just, you know, realize that, that's the way it is. This is a very variable thing. It's when you look at it statistically and start really analyzing statistically robust data, that's when all of these recommendations come out. Now, down the line, who knows, precision medicine, once you start combining it with other parameters, maybe it's valuable. But at the moment, there's nothing there right now. Okay. So it won't hurt you to have your telomeres measured. I mean, you know, it's not going to do you any damage. But telomeres drift up and down statistically. So you know, it's at the stage where it'll be just confusing for an individual. It might be fun to look at it, but it's not going to tell you anything. You really have to look at the data coming out of statistical, robust, well-conducted studies with enough people to get some kind of power. Because we do lots of variation in our lives, and it's hard to interpret anything from one person.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
I read that you wrote this book somewhat out of frustration that the health implications of your research into telomeres wasn't reaching beyond the academic circles. So you teamed up with a psychologist named Dr. Alyssa Epple. What perspective did she bring to this book and to your research that allowed you as a team to reach a wider audience?
Well, we had been working on many collaborative projects since about the year 2000. It wasn't for so much frustration as excitement, because there'd just been this building kind of tidal wave of data and information and understanding that here was something, the attrition of telomeres going on through the decades of human life, and you could start to really see measurable effects on what we really care about, which is our health and our well-being. And the very exciting part was that Alyssa Epple's work and her expertise is on the effect of severe chronic psychological stress on human, you know, our human mind's health and our human body's health. And we could see that that was having effects for good and bad, depending on what situation and how people coped with it. It was having effects on telomeres that we could quantify, and a lot of research had cumulatively shown, sort of built up this clear picture. And there were so many different aspects to it, because it's all throughout our bodies. So we call it different diseases, you know, heart, diabetes, but they're all playing in together. So we thought we should integrate it into a book.
You've been a supporter of human embryonic stem cell research. Is that somewhere where they might be able to replenish telomeres artificially?
So when I say supporter, you know, the sense was that this is a valuable line of research.
Right.
We don't want to just cut off valuable lines of research.
Sure.
You know, rather put them under appropriate regulations. Mm-hmm. You know, here's an analogy, you know. You can take a pencil and turn it into something like a web. You can jab somebody's eyes out with a pencil. Do we ban pencils? No, we put regulations around how we use them.
Yeah.
So that was my sense.
Okay.
Embryonic stem cells happen to be really good at maintaining their telomeres very robustly, but that's not surprising. They're young. They replenish very, very well. So they have all of the maintenance capacity, plenty of telomerase, plenty of capacity to maintain their telomeres. But in general, I think when there's promising lines of research, it's better to look at them, regulate them appropriately, and you know, not cut us off from the sorts of knowledge that could be beneficial to humans.
Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap up here, but speaking of that, how do you feel about President Trump and his attitude towards science so far?
Well, I think any country should look at the value of doing research and see how the long-term effects of investing in research have played out, and they have played out very, very well for, you know, just increasing economies, for increasing so many beneficial things, the health benefits of investing in research, which the U.S. has done for decades, has, you know, it's been really, really clear that this is a worthwhile investment. So I would just say this is something, you know, all nations should look at and say, you know, this is something useful for humankind to do. Don't drop it.
Right?
Don't drop the ball here. Right?
Well, this is fascinating research. Again, the book is called The Telomere Effect, A Revolutionary Approach to Living Younger, Healthier, and Longer. Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, thanks so much for sitting down with me.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks again to Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn for joining me. You can order The Telomere Effect, A Revolutionary Approach to Living Younger, Healthier, Longer on Amazon, or download the audio version for free with a special offer just for our listeners at audibletrial.com/kickassnews. You can learn more at telomereeffect.com or on Twitter at telomereeffect. Be sure to subscribe to Kickass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kickass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kickass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kickass News to your friends on your social media. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews, or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com. As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kickass News. Kickass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.